Well, good morning, everybody. Good to pray with you on this beautiful day. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? And if we can't answer that, then we need to do some study because we need to have an answer for that. His name tells us why he came. Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh saves, or God is salvation. That's why he came. St. Paul says it in his first letter to Timothy. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. That's his mission. But how does he accomplish that mission? Well, before we go there, maybe it's good to take a few moments to think about how he does not accomplish that mission. And what do I mean? I mean this, that Jesus doesn't finally save sinners through his preaching. He doesn't finally save sinners through his miracles, great as they are, and they're great. His preaching and his miracles are simply preamble. Because what Jesus came to do is something much more radical. It needs to be. It needs to be more radical. Radix in Latin means to the root. Jesus has to go to the root. And he has to do something different than just preaching and doing miracles. Because preaching can be forgotten. And miracles, strangely enough, can be taken for granted. So Jesus goes to the very deepest level of dysfunction to set things right there. He descends to earth not just to be with us, not just to show us the way, not just to help us like some sort of enlightened guru. No, he goes much deeper. And where does he go? Into the black abyss of sin. Into the horrible ugliness of human rebellion against God. St. Paul, he who knew not sin came to be sin so that we might become the very righteousness of God. He who knew not sin came to be sin. Jesus didn't just carry our sins as a burden to the cross. No, he identified so closely with them that he came to be sin so that we might become the very righteousness of God. That's what Jesus came to do. And we don't really comprehend that. Not only have we domesticated Jesus, reducing him to mere niceness, we've also minimized his mission. Folks, Jesus didn't come just to make you feel better about yourself. He came to save you from going to hell. I'll say that again. He came to save you from going to hell. Like, hell? That's not a possibility for us here. We're at church. Now, we need to be saved, and we need to talk more about hell. The Catechism has a great definition of hell. It's worth remembering. It's paragraph 1033. It describes hell this way. It says, hell is the definitive state of self-exclusion from communion with God. So it's definitive. Someone who's in hell doesn't magically get to get out of hell. It's definitive. It's final. But the key phrase there is this, self-exclusion. Self-exclusion from the love of God, from communion with God. That's what hell is. And brothers and sisters, every sin has a taste of hell in it. Your big ones, your little ones, the ones that worry you, that you're too afraid to go and bring to confession, and then the small ones that you make friends with. Because every sin is a self-exclusion from communion with God. And the danger is this. As we do that, we get used to it. And we can get so used to it that it becomes a final and definitive way of being. I exclude myself from communion with God. That's why the great C.S. Lewis, in a wonderful little book that he has worth reading called The Great Divorce, talks about how the life of heaven and the life of hell begin on this earth. The life of heaven, to say yes, to give oneself over to communion with God, that begins now. And the life of hell, to exclude oneself from communion with God, that begins now. That's why Jesus came, to save us from excluding ourselves from communion with him. He came to seek and to save. How does he accomplish it? Not by preaching, not by working miracles. He does it by dying, by offering his life in sacrifice for us who are sinners. The theologian Matthew Levering has a great one line. In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. Well, brothers and sisters, our world has gone wrong. And not just the world. It's in our church. It's in our parish. It's in our families. And it's in all those places because it's in our hearts. Every one of us. Your heart, my heart. And the communion we are meant to know with God cannot happen unless there's a sacrifice that goes deeper than the rupture, deeper than the wound of relationship. And that's what Jesus does. He says in today's gospel, "Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out." The ruler of this world who seeks to establish a kingdom of sin, a kingdom of rupture, a kingdom of self-exclusion from the love of God and communion with him, that ruler is driven out, again, not by preaching, not by miracles, but by Jesus totally offering himself in sacrifice on the altar of the cross for our sake. Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." How is he lifted up? Not in glory. Not in acclamation of the crowd. No, he is lifted up specifically on the cross. And he knows it. He says exactly why he is going to be lifted up. To draw everyone, to indicate what kind of death he would undergo. And to do that for you and for me. Everyone has a place beneath the cross of Jesus Christ. No matter your sins, no matter what has gone wrong in your life, you have a place beneath the cross of Jesus Christ, who offers himself in sacrifice to save you from those very sins. This gift is for everyone, every person here, every person you'll ever meet. But it is no cheap grace. It cost our Lord. St. Paul, again, "You are not your own, for you were purchased and at a great price." What is the price? His body. Broken on the cross. His blood poured out on the cross. So friends, understand now what we're doing at this Mass. The Mass is the re-presentation, not representation. The re-presentation, the making present again of the sacrifice that Jesus offered once for all on Calvary. It's the re-presentation of that sacrifice. That's why we're here, to take part in that sacrifice which saves us. You're here to offer yourself in sacrifice to the one who sacrificed himself for you. That's why you're here. You're not here to be entertained. I couldn't care less. If you say, well, that wasn't very entertaining, that homily, I couldn't care less. You're not really even here to be taught or inspired, although that can happen. And if it does, good. You're here to be saved. You're here to be saved. Saved by no one less than Jesus himself. He who once offered his body and blood on the cross for the sake of sinners, offers his body and his blood on this altar to us for the sake of sinners, to save us, to save you, to save me. In a world gone wrong, and in hearts gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. But there has been a sacrifice, his sacrifice. And it is by this sacrifice that we are saved. So, brothers and sisters, know what you're about at this Mass. Offer yourself to the one who offers himself to you by his blood, by his body, by his sacrifice. We are saved.